Hey, it's Dean Blundell. I'm here with my friend at Greg Carrasco on Twitter from Thornhill Hyundai. Good morning, Greg, and how are you today?
I am very well. Thank you, Dean. It's been a while.
It's been so long. You've moved. I've moved. You've moved.
That's what we do.
We're movers.
And shakers.
What do you got going on at Thornhill Hyundai?
We are changing the world.
One car at a time.
One customer at a time.
Now, here's the thing, though. You have no salespeople, which traditionally is bad for the car industry, is that not?
Everybody hates car salespeople, so why fill the showroom with them?
No salespeople. And you meet my friend Greg Carrasco at
Thornhill Hyundai.
You're listening to Dean Blundell and Company on Toronto's Sports Radio, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Come with me now. Come with me now.
Good morning. It's 15 degrees. Welcome to your Friday. It is June the 24th right now. 27 year high today. 30 tomorrow, Sunday 31. Busy day. Key word today, draft.
Yep.
The NHL draft is tonight in Buffalo. Your Toronto Maple Leafs won the draft lottery, therefore, will pick first this evening. You don't have to sit and wonder for the first time in 31 years who's left.
This is your Super Bowl.
Yeah, this is it.
This is it, Lee.
Is this the most important day in Leaf history in the last 40 years?
It feels... No.
In the last 31 years? Give me a day that was more important to the
Toronto
Maple Leafs
against the Kings in 93.
Series, the series against Carolina.
That was 93, so 20... Yeah, oh, the Eastern Conference Final against Carolina.
But that one felt... The Kings series felt more...
Well, either way, those are bigger moments. You're 100%. A series win away from the Stanley Cup. Mm. Those are bigger than today.
Last 15 years then, Dean. Approximately, yeah, at least decade.
For sure decade.
Bigger moment than the
game. Game 7 in the lockout year?
Game 7 collapse in Boston.
That's the only thing in the last 10 years. That would have been nice to seal that one.
Yeah, because that was such a crushing defeat. This is definitely the biggest moment Leaf fans have had in a long time.
Yeah, it's major.
But this is what you watched all that crap for a year and a half. Yep. Tonight is the night. Enjoy it.
Right, the Peter Horachuk year.
Your Peter Horachuk.
Stickgate.
Eric Brewer playing.
Oh, yeah.
Zach Sill.
Tank expert Eric Brewer. I forgot about
him. He's just that lineup they were putting out there. Like, good God.
Yeah. Last year, too. I mean, the reason why they dressed like 52 guys or 58 guys last year. New guys.
Record.
Maybe more than that. I'm remiss to know the numbers, but it's within 10 of that. Like 20-some guys put on a Leaf jersey for the very first time ever. How many NHL debuts you saw last year? The money you ate from the Kessel contract, the real money you continue to eat from guys like Nathan Horton, getting rid of Dion Phaneuf, turning the page, the trades, the embarrassment, finishing last, like losing night after night after night.
Even watching Kessel raise the cup, that rubbed a lot of Leaf fans the wrong way.
That was awesome.
But now you have your moment in the sun tonight. Out of all places on this earth, Buffalo is the place where Leaf fans find that ray of sunshine in Austin Matthews, who's from the desert.
The sweet irony, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Buffalo is where you're going to find joy.
It's going to be fun, Matthews versus Eichel for the next 10 years.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good rivalry. The Sabres are on the way up. The Leafs are as well.
You know what? Every decade or so, there's the changing of the guard in the NHL every 5 to 10 years, where you get like these, as they call them, generational players, the McDavids, the Eichels, and now the Matthews in the same conversation. And the Toronto Maple Leafs have never had one of those guys.
No.
Toronto Maple Leafs have really, since Wendell Clark, never drafted one of those guys that's in the mix with these are can't-miss dudes.
Yeah.
These are guys that you can build a team around. This is, and at the position that you one of two positions that you do build your team around. The back end, like a D guy, a cornerstone defenseman, or a first line center, is impossible to get in the NHL these days. And the Toronto Maple Leafs, so this is, and keep this in mind, you're now relevant in the conversation where you go, one of the best young, possibly, he's never played a game in the NHL, played with men over in Europe. Was the best player on his team, one of the best players, runner-up for MVP in the league at the age of 18. But you have a chance, a very distinct chance, to watch a guy that is in not just in the conversation, but the same echelon as one of the most pure generational talents you will find in the NHL from decade to decade. Think about that.
Well, you talk about generational talents. With all due respect to Wendell Clark, he was not a generational talent. The guy who came after him, you know, Mary Lemieux, was a guy who was going to be the generational talent, right? Wendell Clark was not that guy. Wendell Clark was never, and I was a kid when Wendell Clark got drafted, but he was never seen as an Austin Matthews is now. The Leafs, have they ever drafted a guy like Austin Matthews, really?
Well, Scott Thornton, I think, third overall in 1989 was
You're
a
right,
great
that
pick.
Was close.
Trading up for Luke Shen at the five spot in 2008.
No, but great tonight's moment. The night when you look.
Kadri at the nine.
Why can't we draft Connor McDavid?
Like, this is the player everybody, you know, Lou, you watched them tank for McDavid the year before and embarrass themselves and cheer against your own team. If you're, you know, this is the player every team in the NHL would take first overall by far. So, and your Leafs will take him. Your Toronto Maple Leafs will take Austin, barring some massive brain fart by the brain trust. Your Toronto Maple Leafs will take that player. This is your player, finally. This is exciting. If you're not excited for today, if you're not pumped as a Leaf fan for today, if you don't think this is a page-turning moment for this organization for today, you're nuts. Enjoy it. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the end of the suffering. 7:07, hopefully. Time to get you up to date. Here's George. Hi, George.
Hi, Dean. And this update is brought to you by Eastside Chevrolet Buick GMC. All right. The NBA draft went down last night at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. Yeah, your Raptors had the ninth pick thanks to that sweet, sweet Andrea Bargnani trade. And here's what they did.
The Toronto Raptors select Jakob Poeltl from Vienna, Austria.
Yeah, the 7'1" Utah center is the first Austrian ever drafted into the NBA and says playing college ball in the States will help him big time come pros.
It's amazing for me. Like, playing 2 years at Utah was an unbelievable experience, and I think not a lot of guys coming over from Europe get the chance to get used to the American style of play here. And kind of prepare for the NBA like I did.
Yeah, Poeltl averaged 17.2 points, 9.1 rebounds, and 1.6 blocks this past season for the Utes. It looks like the Raptors have already potentially found a backup for Jonas Valanciunas.
Yeah, I think so. And they might have found a guy that can play the four. I don't think he shoots the three, though. He wouldn't, or I don't think he's a stretch four. I think he's either the center or a real strong power forward and a good option in the low post. I mean, he's got a lot of work to do. He's not. They said he's got an NBA ready body, but he's not NBA ready yet. And we'll ask Dwayne Casey about it at 8:15.
Right, and we'll talk to Blake Murphy about it too. The book on him is he won't be a bust. Everyone says that's one thing they said about Poeltl, is he won't be a bust. I think he can fill some minutes next year. A safe pick by Masai Ujiri, and that's something you don't always hear with Masai.
Oh, well, speaking of safe picks, Masai Ujiri went a little off the board when the Raptors were picking 27th.
With the 27th pick in the 2016 NBA Draft, the Toronto Raptors select Pascal Siakam from Douala, Cameroon, and New Mexico State University.
Yeah, Adam Silver is even surprised by reading that name. The 6'10" forward from Cameroon averaged 20.2 points, 11.6 boards, and 2.2 blocks for New Mexico State.
They said he is
last season.
He's got the same temperament, and he's got the same kind of positive attitude and that engine that just keeps going. He's got very much like Bismack Biyombo. So I don't know what that means. Does it mean Bismack's not coming back? Financially, it doesn't make a ton of sense for the Raptors, specifically if you sign DeMar DeRozan. But you go off, you make the safe pick with the early pick, and you take a flyer with the later pick with some upside because you never know what can happen. So we'll see. I trust Masai Ujiri and his team, though they draft well.
Rounding out the draft, obviously the 76ers took LSU's Ben Simmons, number one overall. Kitchener's Jamal Murray was picked 7th by the Denver Nuggets out of Kentucky. And the Bucks took Thon Maker at number 10. Maker's originally from Sudan, but spent this year at the Athlete Institute in Orangeville. Big trade, too, went down last night. The OKC Thunder traded forward Serge Ibaka to the Magic for Victor Oladipo, Ersan Ilyasova, and the newly drafted Domantas Sabonis. And back to the Raptors real quick, Dean. Both Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan were named to the U.S. Olympic basketball team for this summer's Rio Games. We'll talk to Coach Casey about who the Raptors drafted and Kyle and DeMar coming up at 8:15 on the program. We're standing by with Jeff Merrick soon. The Maple Leafs obviously hold the first overall pick in the NHL draft tonight in Buffalo for the first time since 1985 when, of course, they selected Wendell Clark. They're expected to take American Austin Matthews, who spent last season playing professionally in Switzerland. Matthews did grow up in Scottsdale, Arizona. Here's the coverage. We'll have noon to 1 o'clock, Hockey Central at noon with Jeff Merrick, Gord Stellick, and Todd Halushko live from Buffalo. 7 to 8 tonight on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, live coverage of the NHL draft. The first pick goes approximately around 7:10, hosted by Stellick and Halushko. You can obviously watch all the action unfold 7 o'clock on Sportsnet or the Sportsnet app. We got the Blue Jays on the radio station, but the live coverage of the NHL continues with Stellick and Halushko on sportsnet.ca/590. We'll recap the first round with Peter Labardius, Derek Wills, and Pat Steinberg on both streams, sportsnet590.ca. And approximately around 10:30 tonight, a special Merrick versus Wyshynski from the NHL draft in Buffalo as well. A lot of rumors surrounding PK Subban and the Habs. We'll talk to Jeff Merrick about that as well straight ahead. Mark Bergevin spoke yesterday and was he was a little snarky when it comes to potentially trading PK Subban.
If somebody offered me after their team, well, you know, you got to make it work, but it's not my intention.
So stupid. You know, is there a more smug organization in the NHL than the Montreal Canadiens? Is there a more...
And they have nothing to be smug about
the last 20 years. Is there a greasier group of people in the NHL than the people that run the Montreal Canadiens?
Some Bruins?
No, I think not so much.
They're greasy.
No, not anymore. Yeah, they might be.
Yeah, they're really greasy.
You've got, and I feel sorry for PK Subban. And you can't go, oh, how can you feel sorry for a guy that makes millions of dollars a year? He's got a great life. Okay, he's going to play hockey. I'll tell you why. Because that guy put his heart, his soul, his money, his life, his reputation, his effort, his pride into that community. And Mark Bergevin laughs and has other and shrugs it off. And then basically, if you ask me, lies. I'm not shopping PK Subban. Do you have that clip? Which is interesting, because if you're not shopping him, how the bleep are you getting a million different offers for this guy?
Here it is.
It's not even listening to offers. Is I'm taking calls. When a GM calls me, I don't know what he's calling me about.
So I
answer the phone. And yes, I've received call on PK, but I'm not shopping you. I'm not shopping PK Subban, I could tell you that.
So if his phone rings, Jeff Merrick, if PK Subban is the topic of conversation, let me ask you this. And Jeff Merrick joins us from Sportsnet. Jeff, if Mark Bergevin's phone rings and on the call display it says Peter Chiarelli, Do you think he has any clue what it's about?
Pretty sure that it's about PK Subban.
Okay.
And pretty sure that it's about one, maybe two roster players, and pretty sure it's about the fourth overall draft pick. And yeah,
I know it's a game, Jeff. I get this is the game that you play, unless you're Jim Benning. He plays a game no one else plays, which is here's who we're going after, this guy, this guy.
Run the Canucks into the ground.
Yeah, and we're gonna get rid of this guy, but don't tell anybody, okay, radio guy? But listen, I wanted to say, like, is there a more smug organization in the NHL than the Montreal Canadiens?
They're in a tough spot. Like, I know what you mean, but I really feel bad for Mark Bergevin here because, you know, on the one hand, you know, there is this sort of groundswell within the organization to move on for PK Subban. I think it's the wrong decision, but there are some in the organization that feel this is the right thing to do.
Why?
Why?
Yeah.
Oh, there's been personality clashes with PK Subban and a lot of players. I think the vote for the foundational player within the organization at King Clancy, the fact that it didn't go to PK Subban after donating countless of millions of dollars to children's hospitals, all the charity work that he does, the fact that the players didn't vote for PK Subban is probably an indication that there's something there. But if you're Mark Bergevin, man, you're in a spot because you have to make your decision by July 1st. Now you have a really tight window to make up your mind, and if you're going to move on from him, you want to do it in as quiet and efficient a way as possible. Yesterday, Dean, And George, make no mistake about it, was a very awkward day for Mark Bergevin.
And PK Subban. And I was thinking about this yesterday. I was driving home, listening to the radio and listening to the conversations with Bob and Arash yesterday and Brian Lawton. And I thought to myself, you know, it really seems like, and it feels like, that because of the debacle of last year, because not having Carey Price really exposed this team to be a less than average hockey team, and having the defensive woes that they had last year, having no scoring up front, what it feels like now, because we're hearing all these rumors, it feels like they're trying to take a scarlet letter and on the way by slap it on PK Subban's back, and then on the way by point as managers and say to the fan base, look, that's why. And look at all the work we're doing to move this guy out of town to give you what you want, which is a winning team. It's like they're looking for a way to blame one person and in the process rebuilding their franchise.
I don't know that they're pinning it all on PK Subban, though. Like, I do think they get the mulligan because Carey Price wasn't there last year. Did the goal scoring dry up? Certainly it did. And were there some defensive flaws, and were there some questionable coaching decisions that were made? Absolutely. I don't think, though, that this is Montreal saying last year was about PK Subban, let's calm down the fan base. I really think this is about that dressing room. And I don't think it's as bad as it was, years ago when Bob Gainey was running the organization and the room was split right down the middle, and there was you're either on Camp Koivu or Camp Kovalev, and everybody picked their side, and the entire season blew up. But there is something that's not right within that Montreal Canadiens dressing room. And if it's not going to be PK Subban, maybe it's Max Pacioretty. But it seems pretty obvious that it's going to be tough for the Montreal Canadiens to move forward with both these guys in the same room.
We got to get to the draft too, but real quick, one more on this, Jeff, as well. Sure. But Carey Price has 2 years left on his deal. And if the Habs trade PK Subban for a younger player, maybe a Draisaitl out of Edmonton, he still needs a few years for being an elite player. Is Carey Price going to want to stay in Montreal and re-sign with the Habs if he sees it's a big youth movement going on there when PK's a win-now player?
Yeah, I don't necessarily think that it'll be if they do move on from PK Subban, I don't necessarily think it'll just be for a young player and a pick. Montreal is still climbing up the winning cycle, and I don't think they want to take that step back. I think that at the end of it, and I saw the report yesterday with the tweet from George Laroque, which is, Leon Draisaitl in the fourth overall draft pick. I think if they do move on from PK Subban, it's for a significant roster player who helps the team right now. I can't see Montreal taking that much of a step back. They'll want a player or players, George, that helps the team right now.
Best bets for PK Subban, where does he end up and what do they get for him?
Well, I mean, Edmonton seems to be the most obvious one. I mean, they're the ones that, they were going to make a strong play for Travis Hamonic. Do they make a play for, one of the defensemen with the Anaheim Ducks? There was a big deal on the table at trade deadline involving one, maybe as many as two of those roster players on the blue line from the Anaheim Ducks. So they are, they are Exhibit A for a team that's looking for a defenseman, and they have the assets to give. All the usual suspects whose name isn't Connor McDavid are probably available if the price is right. So if I'm a betting man, it's Edmonton, his destination.
Is he a Montreal Canadian after this week?
What time is it? Because my opinion keeps changing. It's like hours.
7:19
on July 2nd. Is he still a Hab?
Right now, because I just woke up about 45 minutes ago and had a cup of coffee. I'm in a good mood. I'm saying to myself, he stays a Montreal Canadian. But catch me around 12 o'clock when I start hosting Hockey Central.
But does he want to stay a Montreal Canadian?
Yes,
after
he does.
All, all this crap.
After all of this, I mean, this, that market is great for PK Subban. That market is great for the brand of PK Subban. That market, I mean, if you want to do something in hockey, I mean, Toronto certainly is golden, but if you have an opportunity to make yourself larger than life, very few places in the NHL can you do that better than in Montreal.
Subban
wants to do.
Jeff Merrick joins us live from Buffalo. You're doing Merrick versus Wyshynski later on there this afternoon as well, covering the draft tonight from the draft floor. Jeff, wanted to ask you, is obviously a foregone conclusion. You don't tank basically a season and a half and two seasons and eat a whole bunch of money, real money and cap money, and embarrass yourself for a season and a half and get to the doorstep of picking first overall, and you don't. That's obviously what's going to happen today, correct?
Austin Matthews.
Yeah.
That's the one guaranteed thing about tonight is that the Maple Leafs will march on that stage here at First Niagara and announce that Austin Matthews is a Maple Leaf. After that, Dean, place your bets.
Really?
Because where once upon a time we thought that Winnipeg was a lock with Patrick Laine at number two, don't be surprised if that pick is in play as well.
In what capacity?
You know, there's a lot of, I mean, there's a lot, Ron, I mean, at the hotel yesterday, tons of rumors flying around. I mean, don't be surprised if Winnipeg, you know, maybe moves down to four. I mean, here we go again with Edmonton. Edmonton, everything seems to circle around Edmonton right now. You know, some speculation, you know, does Edmonton want to move up to number two, and how attractive would a, you know, Connor McDavid, Patrick Laine combo look like? I mean, there's your Canadian, there's your Finn, there's your Gretzky, there's your Curry. You know, does Edmonton maybe look to move up, trade an asset to Winnipeg, and then have Winnipeg move down and still get a top-notch player? So a lot of moving pieces in play. Today, actually, guys, may be a de facto second NHL trade deadline day, maybe even more so than it is the 2016 NHL draft.
What are some names that you're hearing maybe over coffee in a hotel or in conversations with other guys that do what you do and or agents and turning stones over? What are you hearing that might happen, names that you're hearing today that could be on the move, roster players or picks? What are you hearing other than the two and the four that you just mentioned?
Two and the four, the big one. We strongly believe the Calgary Flames are trying to get up to three. They very much like Pierre-Luc Dubois, and for good reason. A lot of teams like Pierre-Luc Dubois, and the one way you can probably guarantee yourself to get him is to move with the Columbus Blue Jackets to trade there. Wouldn't be surprised to see Montreal shock everybody and try to move up as well. If Vancouver wants Pierre-Luc Dubois over a defenseman like Mikhail Sergachev or a winger like Alexander Nylander, they'll have to move up to three. So it seems as if, you know, there's a couple of kingmakers here. I mean, if you want to move, and one of them are the Columbus Blue Jackets. They are not locked at number three at all. Where once upon a time we thought that, you know, it would be Austin Matthews, Patrick Laine, and then Jesse Puljujärvi. Puljujärvi yesterday saying he hasn't even talked to Columbus since getting into Buffalo as well. They've interviewed a lot of players who will probably go later in the first round. It seems as if all arrows are pointing to the fact that Columbus is very open to move that number three overall pick.
Jeff, who do the Leafs take at the top of the second round on Saturday?
I think at some point, George, they do address the goaltending situation this year and take a young goaltender. Do they take him there, or do they wait a little bit later on? You know, there's a four or five different candidates. Philip Gustafsson from Sweden is probably the best bet.
That's worked out before. Gustafsson's from Sweden, no problem with the Leafs.
Just don't call him the monster. I think you never really want to draft for position because then you run into some awkward, you know, territory down the road. But it wouldn't surprise me if, you know, they start to make a move on some more defensemen in the second round. And, you know, for me, I keep coming back to this guy, Cam Dineen, who plays in North Bay. And he's an OR client, much like the Maple Leafs took Travis Dermott in the second round last year. You know, don't be surprised they go for a defenseman in the second, and if a player like Cam Dineen is available, maybe they jump up there.
Oh, sorry, Jeff. I forgot to turn my microphone on. Key to this business. Key to this business. Jeff, appreciate you doing this. I know you got a busy day ahead of you. It's a big day for the Toronto Maple Leafs. And you know, I tried to put this in perspective earlier when we were talking about enjoying this day. If you're a Leaf fan, you know you've sweated out. You've been told to relax. You've been told it's going to suck. You've lived through it. This is really the eve of the Stanley Cup Final for the Toronto Maple Leafs, is it not?
You know, here's pretentious quote number 3,416 from Jeff Merrick. Winston Churchill once said, "This is not the end. This is not the beginning of the end, but this very much may just be the end of the beginning for the Toronto Maple Leafs."
Okay, we'll marinate on that one because you're way smarter than us. We'll try and figure it out as we go. Have a great time today.
Thanks, boys.
Take care.
Is he talking about the street?
No, he's not. This hour is brought to you by Woodbine. Woodbine, we've got the Queen's Plate coming up on Sunday, July 3rd. It's Canada's oldest thoroughbred horse race, and it's the longest continuously running stakes race in North America, and it's a big party. This year, for the first time ever, they're going to have live music, seven artists on three different stages, including Headley, Matthew Good, and the Strumbellas. Have a drink and a bite to eat while checking out your favorite horse and hats at the Hats and Horseshoes Party presented by Stella Artois. That's the Queen's Plate at Woodbine Racetrack, Sunday, July 3rd. Visit queensplate.com to buy your tickets today. 7:25, Blake Murphy will break down what the Raptors did and didn't and probably should do yesterday at the NBA draft. That's next. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Absolutely free. You're listening to Dean Blundell and Company on Toronto's Sports Radio, Sportsnet 590. Fire loud and let the rocket shot. The Fan. Turn down for what?
Turn down for what? 7:31, good morning. Lots going on. Draft day, NHL draft on Sportsnet, 7 p.m. Listen to it right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan from 7 till 8. Then on Sportsnet590.ca. Because them Jays are playing tonight, too. In Chicago against the White Sox, 8 o'clock. It's all here. Also, we've got some free stuff coming up in just a few minutes. Huge prize today. Not only do we have the Blue Jays with the Pair Day giveaway, Blue Jays and the Royals tickets, series finale July 6th. Also, giving you a chance to win a six-month free trial to Sportsnet now. It's awesome. You can watch anything Sportsnet anywhere you want, anytime you want, on your mobile device. We'll explain the whole thing next. But a six-month free subscription, plus a couple of tickets to go see a hell of a tilt, which will be the Jays-Royals renewing hostilities and the series finale July the 6th. Blake Murphy standing by to talk about another draft, the NBA draft. Raptors make a couple of picks in the first round. We'll get to those and why and thoughts. And is Masai done with Blake Murphy from Raptors Republic and Sportsnet.ca coming up next. Time for another update. Here's George. Hi, George.
Hi, Dean, and it's brought to you by John Deere. The Raptors picked 7'1" big man Jakob Poeltl with the 9th pick in last night's NBA draft. Toronto also picked 6'10" forward Pascal Siakam with the 27th pick. Kitchener's Jamal Murray went 7 to the Nuggets. Maple Leafs have the number one pick at tonight's NHL draft in Buffalo. Barring something amazing, the Leafs are expected to take American Austin Matthews first. Hear the pick live right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, or watch it all unfold on Sportsnet and the Sportsnet app at 7. The Blue Jays begin a three-game set with the White Sox in Chicago tonight. Aaron Sanchez on the bump, 8 o'clock. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Sportsnet 1, and the Sportsnet app. And the Tiger Cats beat the Argos 42-20 at BMO Field in the CFL season opener. Hey, here's a football clip from Week 10 of the Lingerie Football League, courtesy of head coach of the Seattle Mist, Chris Michelson, ripping Refstein following a fumble in his team's 26-21 loss to the Dallas Desire.
Horrible officiating job once again. Good job, LFL crew. That's why you do the expansion teams. You ain't ready for the real Can't even get a high school job anymore, let alone a junior high school.
That is the right
Where
call.
Where is the spot?
Yeah, he was.
The Lingerie Football League is a real league?
Yeah.
Like they play a real season?
Yeah. That's week 10.
How many weeks are there?
Did you hear him? Did you hear he was ripping the refs? That's why you ref the expansion.
Is he aware that coach aware he's coaching women in underwear?
Yeah. But he's fired up.
My God. Incredible. Thanks, George. Yeah. 7:34. Lots to get to, so let's get to it. Don't forget, again, we've got some Jays Royals tickets coming up in just a few minutes. Right now, and Dwayne Casey at 8:15, by the way, the coach.
Nice.
Coach Casey. Coach. We just call him Coach.
Case.
No, just Coach.
Okay.
You call him Case? His last name's Casey.
Yeah, but they call
no
him
disrespect.
Case.
No, they don't. They call him they Coach.
Yeah, they do. Thanks,
George Steph. Should call him Case and
hey,
see
Case,
what happens.
What's up?
Today.
Do it. We'll ask him when he joins us. He's a great guy. Coach Casey, aptly rewarded with a new deal prior to like 2-3 weeks ago. So he's basking in it. He's probably purchased himself a new range, possibly a new microwave, maybe a couple things for the house, a couple things for the kids. Either way, really excited he's going to join us to talk about his draft picks, as our next guest is as well. Please welcome Blake Murphy from Sportsnet.ca and Raptors Republic. Hi, Blake. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Yeah, not bad. I was pretty good, as a matter of fact. Raptors make a couple of picks yesterday. They pick this kid, Jakob Poeltl. I believe that's how
Poeltl.
You say Poeltl, whatever, from the Utah Utes, the safest pick in the draft, some said, and then they went off the board for the second. Take us through the first. Who is Jakob Poeltl?
Yeah, safe is a good way to describe it. From an analytical perspective, he is basically the most bust-proof player in the draft, at least outside of Ben Simmons and Brandon Ingram. there are very few ways to look at what he did over 2 years at Utah and then look at his scouting profile and what he does well and doesn't do well and see a case where he's not at least a semi-productive NBA player. And, you know, it's tough on draft night when you have a lottery pick, especially riding the high that Raptors fans were after the season, to then turn around and use a safer pick. But, you know, if you're the Raptors, you just finished a 56-win season and run to the Eastern Conference playoffs, you're probably losing Bismack Biyombo, and you just found a guy who, you know, the term NBA ready is thrown around way too often and very rarely applies to rookies. But this is a guy who could come in and push Lucas Nogueira for the backup center job, who, you know, in the most likely case is at least going to be a good defender who can finish around the rim. It's, you know, I definitely understand people who wanted to swing for the fences. The way the draft played out, guys like Deontay Davis or Skal Labissiere, they slid dramatically. So, you know, passing on them at number nine certainly looks more justified when everyone else after the Raptors passed on them as well.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's just a little less fun, I think, when you go with the safe pick on draft night.
Yeah, and especially when you heard the rumors that we heard prior to draft night. You'd heard yesterday, you know, leading up to the draft, that the Toronto Raptors very actively trying to shop the nine pick. Masai Ujiri also said, yeah, we're trying to get rid of this. We're trying to get better now. He also said, we don't need to get any younger. We need to get better now. This is a great window for our organization. We need to service what we have. And then they go and pick a young kid out of Austria who's 7'1" at a position they don't really have a need at with Jonas Valanciunas. So what do they do with it? My question is, what do they do with that pick? Is this just we're going to take this guy, he's the safest pick, and then we're going to continue to work on what we need to do to address that four position? Because he's not, if he plays the four, he's listed as a power forward. If he plays the four, he's not a stretch four. He can't shoot past the free throw line. He's great in the paint. He's a good low post guy, grabs a ton of rebounds. He's got good hands, he's a good passer. And that's all good. As you said, the analytics on him was really safe, but not the area of need. So my question to you would be, you take this guy, great, this is good, let's put it over here for now and continue to work on the area of need at the four. Is that what the Raptors are doing?
Yeah, I think so. I know Dwayne Casey said after the pick that they see Poeltl being able to play the four a little bit. I don't really see that as much. I think he has the defensive mobility and scurries around the perimeter well enough to do so. But I don't really see how it would work offensively with him and Jonas Valanciunas or him and Lucas Nogueira or him and whoever. But I also don't, I'm not really much of a believer, especially at number nine in a draft like this, of drafting for need and trying to jam someone into a hole just because the roster turns over so quickly. We have no idea what the way the offseason may play out. And on draft night last year, DeLon Wright looked like he filled the need. And then when July 1st came around, he no longer filled the need and there weren't minutes for him. So I'm usually of the mind of taking the best player available. And I think what the Raptors may have also done here with Poeltl is take the player that they felt had, you know, not a consensus necessarily, but we saw how Davis and Skal slid. If there's a chance that they are still going to look to move this pick after the fact, which is something I suggested might happen just for the purposes of salary cap matching after the fact, you know, getting a guy who's safe, who has a floor, who, you know, has a clear NBA role and who, you know, no one had, I don't think I saw anyone rank him lower than 15th, whereas everyone else was kind of all over the board. That's a good way to, you know, that's strong asset management. And then the downside is, you know, he pushes for a backup center job. So it maybe doesn't fill an immediate need. You need three centers throughout the course of the year. Obviously, they didn't fill that power forward spot, but I'm not sure there's anyone there who would have filled that power forward spot at nine anyway.
Blake, I know what you're saying, and it makes sense that the Raptors went safe, as you said, asset management. But weren't the Raptors and Masai Ujiri in a position last night where they kind of can try to swing for the fences? They have a lot of young talent on this team. Bebe's still here. Who knows what Bruno's going to be, and DeLon Wright. And this is a win-now team. Do you think Masai maybe should have rolled the dice and tried to hit a home run?
Ahead of the draft, that's what I thought they were going to do and what I would have done. You know, where the Raptors are, I think that you look at the next couple of years and there's not a clear way through free agency or through any obvious trades to get significantly better beyond internal development. So I thought that was the reason to, plus you see how well they've done developing players over the last couple of years. So I thought that was the reason to swing for the fences. Deontay Davis was the guy who, if we assume the top eight went the way they went, Deontay Davis was the guy that I liked the most. Obviously, there's some sort of red flag in his profile, you know, whether that's personality or interview or injury. He slid all the way to 31 after being a projected top 10 pick. So I look silly for that one now. And the people who wanted Skull, he slid to 28. I don't know. I probably would have swung for the fences a little harder. I would have been okay with a draft and stash too, where you take a Timothy Luwawu or a Furkan Korkmaz and have them develop on someone else's dime for a year. But again, it's not necessarily the approach I would have taken, but I completely understand it from Masai Ujiri's perspective.
Yeah, but Masai, it's funny because if you finish as well as you finish, so you see the need to get better now. You make it to an Eastern Conference final, and then you pick with a bunch of teams that weren't very good during the season, right? So these teams will get those impact picks. Well, Toronto is in a position where they're not getting an impact pick unless they hit, on something that's absolute. And Norman Powell, say what you like, second rounder, wasn't an impact pick. He was terrific. He was a revelation, and that was a wonderful job scouting. But, you know, unless it's a Ben Simmons, whose consensus is going to be an excellent basketball player and anything can happen, I just have to point to Michael Olowokandi to prove my point, or Greg Oden to prove my point. Anything can happen when you get picked first overall, for sure. But, you know, if that trade, you're going to make a trade or you're going to do something with that pick either has to be an absolute home run, and the Raptors took the safe route, so chances are probably not a home run, probably not to play big minutes, impact minutes in the NBA next year for the Toronto Raptors, number one. Number two, or you have to be able to make that move, and from what I understand, they tried to make a move yesterday, but it wasn't there, and their trading partner, Oklahoma City, widely considered to be going after Serge Ibaka. Serge goes to Orlando for Oladipo, Ilyasova, and of course, their draft pick, which was Sabonis. So, you know, it was obviously the cupboard was more full in Orlando, but, you know, you either take that impact player, or you have to be able to make a move, and the move just wasn't there, and it has to be there.
Yeah, that's the thing. You look at, you know, I was looking at my chops when it sounded like Serge Ibaka might be on the block. But the Raptors, I mean, they don't have a piece of dangle like Victor Oladipo, and Orlando's pick was only two spots lower. Plus, they had
What I understand was Ross, Patrick Patterson, and the nine. Correct.
I mean, I didn't hear that from anyone in the organization. I saw it tweeted. I don't know how reliable that tweet is, but. You know, even if that were the case, you know, neither of those guys are Victor Oladipo, and Patterson's only a year out of free agency. I don't know. What the Magic ended up offering was a little sweeter, and I'm not sure the Raptors could have sweetened that any more for 1 year of Ibaka before unrestricted free agency.
Blake, obviously the focus now shifts to DeMar DeRozan in free agency, and we all think he's going to come back, but if he doesn't, what's the backup plan?
That's an interesting question. The backup plan is, I guess, if he's not coming back, I'm sure the organization would know. The first move would be to clear his cap hold off the books, renounce his rights. I know a lot of people have suggested a sign and trade if he leaves. There's just not a lot of incentive for a player to sign and trade now. Players can no longer get that fifth year or the larger raises via sign and trade. And when every team has cap space, you know, they don't really need, like, there's no reason for the Lakers to give up an asset to get DeRozan to sign him to the same deal they could sign him to in free agency. So the first move would be to renounce his rights and then, you know, get the wiggle room you need to aggressively pursue, say, a Nick Batum or, you know, looking a tier down and Evan Fournier or someone like that. I'm pretty sure DeRozan's coming back, whether that's at the full max or slightly lower. You know, I've always thought it was a little greater than 50-50 that he comes back. I don't really see the reason, especially with no recourse to replace him and no great situation standing there for him. I don't really see why the two sides would part ways. Whether or not you agree with, you know, giving DeRozan the max, letting him walk for nothing when you don't have the cap space to replace him is hardly a better option.
Well, it was predictably boring, but the Raptors do what they normally do, which is make a safe pick early and take a chance later. We'll get to that coming up in a few minutes. But, Blake, appreciate you doing this. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much for having me.
Take care. Blake Murphy, Raptors Republic Sports. And .ca, that later pick, 27, Pascal Siakam.
Got him.
Cameroon.
6'10 forward.
Yeah, off the board, as they say. So when you have to Google someone, it's off the board.
I loved his game at New Mexico.
Okay. 7:45. Hold on. We've got your fail of the day and those Jays tickets, as well as a 6-month free subscription to Sportsnet now. Next, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake doctor's orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Dean Blundell and Company's Fail of the Day.
That's when I blow it.
You blew it!
Time for your Fail of the Day. This one goes to Nike. Not used to... I personally don't think it's a fail. However, female tennis players do. Have you heard this story?
You know I'm a big tennis guy, Dean.
Yeah. I just asked if you heard the story, not if you're a big tennis guy. Obviously, but you've heard the story.
Because I'm a big tennis guy.
Okay, big tennis guy. You know, in Wimbledon, they're really snotty about what people wear. It's got to be white.
It has to be all white.
All white. Can't have anything. No nothing.
Yep.
Well, apparently the women that are playing at Wimbledon that are Nike-sponsored are saying, hey, whoa, we'll wear white. Not this short. At least 20 women in Wimbledon's main draw are paid to wear Nike, and at least 19 of those are not happy with the outfits, saying they're, quote, too revealing, way too short, and they get in the way. Now, if they're too short, how can they get in the way?
Yeah.
Like, Paulie. And is there something? Is there even something called too short? You know what I'm saying? Victoria Azarenka, Petra Kvitova,
yeah,
Jeannie, Serena Williams, as well as another Nike endorser. Serena's going to wear her own stuff because she designs her own stuff. The other girls have said, listen, this is too short. And I don't know if you guys have watched a lot of women's tennis. I know I have because I prefer the action. I prefer the drama, and it finishes faster because there's only three sets, right?
Two out of three.
So that's what I'm saying. There's only a maximum of three sets you can
Correct.
Play. Sure. Do you have to be so persnickety?
Yeah, it's tennis.
Oh. Anyway, I've watched, and I've seen lots of stuff in women's tennis. And I don't know how much more revealing these are because they've sent them back to get altered, all of these skirts, all of these tennis outfits. But if they were more revealing than the ones that I've seen, man, they must have been revealing. Because you could have, some of these outfits, you could have done a full physical and not even get changed.
Well, it's even worse at Wimbledon, too, because the creeper paparazzi, too. Some of the photos they take at Wimbledon, extreme zoom lens there for those creepers at Wimbledon.
Yeah. Hey, bud, you know you're not in the Serengeti trying to get a shot of a warthog, right?
It's true.
Yes, actually, I know exactly what I'm doing. Yes, you do.
It's like Paulina Gretzky at the U.S. Open short.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Yeah. And Jeannie Bouchard apparently looked at it, tried it on, and took it off and said, hey, you take this back. Don't come back with anything other than what I normally wear.
Yeah.
What I normally lose in.
Remember when I used to be good when I signed this original endorsement deal? Oh, man.
Yeah, must have been short. There you go. That is your fail of the day.
Ooh, ace.
This hour is brought to you by Thornhill Hyundai, thornhillhyundai.com. Check it out. Go see my friend at Greg Carrasco on Twitter. Go see him at 7200 Young Street in Thornhill, thornhillhyundai.com. He will not beat. You will not find a better deal. Speaking of deals, you won't find a better one than this one. Time to get caller number two what they need. Blue Jays tickets. Call us now, 416-870-0590, 888-666-0590, star 590 in your cell phone. Huge prize today. Jays take on the Royals series finale on July 6th, Rogers Center. This is it. Your chance is the not only go see that, but your chance to get a 6-month free subscription of Sportsnet now, a 24/7 live stream of Sportsnet regional channels, Sportsnet 1 and Sportsnet 360 TV channels without a TV subscription. How awesome is that? All you need is the web and the internet and Wi-Fi. 6 months of Sportsnet now will include all Blue Jays games, regular and postseason, all postseason and World Series games, all World Cup of Hockey games, regular season NHL games, Raptor NBA games. Call now for your chance to win. 416-870-0590, 888-666-0590, star 590 on your cell phone. Don't move. Frege, Dwayne Casey, next. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.